Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note today's call is being recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance, and it's now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for the Singing Machine 2016 Annual Numbers Conference Call. I'm joined by Gary Atkinson, CEO, Bernard Mellow, Director of Sales, and Lionel Marquis, CFO. We have a quick forward-looking statement, and we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over now to Gary Atkinson, CEO.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Gary Atkinson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Singing Machine Company. I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time this morning to join us on this earnings call. I apologize in advance if anybody has a hard time hearing me. I'm currently in Hong Kong and calling in from here, so I hope everybody can hear me just fine. I'm also here with Lionel Marquis and Bernardo Mellow. My plan is to start the call by giving a quick update on the year, and then I'll hand the call off to Lionel, who will give us a quick update on the numbers, and then turn the call over to Bernardo, who will talk a little bit about the recent success stories that we've had at retail. So with that being said, I'm sure everybody knows that our year-end numbers were released yesterday afternoon. If you haven't had a chance to see them yet, they're widely available on singingmachine.com or on the sec.gov website, or any major finance website should also have the 10-K information available. So with that being said, I'd like to let everybody know that fiscal 2016 has been a banner year for Singing Machine. We managed to grow our sales by over 20%, while at the same time growing our gross margin by over 3%. Had a lot of success reducing our inventory significantly, and was able to grow our bottom line's earnings also by a significant number. At the same time, we launched our new digital download line of products and also our digital download music store, which has had a lot of success over the last fiscal period. And even to this date today, we still continue to see an impressive number of downloads coming through to our store. So, fiscal 2016 for us, we think, marks 5 years of consecutive profits. Continued growth year over year, and now translating to significant bottom line earnings, which we hope will continue in the near future. So I'll have a few more words to say at the end of the call regarding the music download store, but for now I'd like to turn the call over to Lionel, who will give us more updates and more detailed information on the numbers.
Thank you, Gary. Just wanted to go through a summary of the numbers for the year, some of the highlights, which were included in the press release that we issued yesterday, but in case you have not seen it, our net sales were $48.9 million this year versus $39.3 in the prior year. That's a 24% increase, okay, due to a couple of reasons, approximately $2 million increase in international sales, and also the remaining increases were due to increases in our big box retailers due to some promotions and other things that Mr. Mellow will talk about in the sales and marketing portion of this presentation. Gross profit margin was $11.9 million versus $8.3 million last year. Again, primarily a function of two things. One, the growth of sales, obviously, and also improvement in the gross profit margin percentages. Speaking of gross profit margin percentages, we were at 24.4% gross profit margin for the year. This year, fiscal year 16 versus last year of 21.1%, or an increase of 3.3% on the gross margin line. A couple of reasons for that. We got some very good cost decreases in our product lines, a lot related to the devaluation of the renminbi, as well as our new digital product line, which commanded some higher profit margins than our standard products. The combination of those two things were the primary reason for the increase in the gross profit percentage. The selling expenses went up from, they were $4.7 million this year compared to $3.1 million last year, an increase of $1.6 million, primarily due to co-ops. They were commensurate somewhat with the increase in sales. However, we did make some additional promotional expenditures on some of the big box retailers, which certainly had some success that sales and marketing can talk about. Mr. Miller will talk to you about those when he goes through his sales and marketing presentation. Our general administrative expenses, $5.2 million this year versus $4.5 million in the prior year. Again, we continue to reduce general administrative as a percentage of total sales. Some of the increase, which was approximately $1.7 million, was due to just commensurate with the increases, but the payroll was the biggest contributor here that contributed approximately $300,000 of the increase, and that has to do primarily with bonuses, mostly executive bonuses for the triggers that were set this year. Some additional intercompany services of approximately $100,000, as well as an increase in temporary labor in our logistics area, again, primarily due related to the growth. Our net operating income was $1.9 million versus $0.6 million in the prior year. That's a $1.3 million increase, and it's all due to some of the factors that we just discussed above. Looking at net income, just to the bottom line, improved there as well. You'll note that the tax burden on the tax, we actually had a tax benefit of $1 million, $100,000 this year. So it's primarily due to, we did recognize a tax expense of $900,000, but this was offset by $800,000 of the remaining deferred tax asset valuation reserve. Management has now determined that after 5 years of profitability and the prospects of things going forward, we are more likely than not to recognize the remaining portion of our deferred tax asset or our net operating loss carryforwards before they expire. So consequently, we took the last of the, we reversed the last of the valuation reserve. So going forward, there will be no more valuation reserve being taken back in the future. Some of the highlights in the balance sheet, I mean, we ended up with $2 million and $2.1 million in cash this year compared to last year where we had $100,000 in cash. That's, of course, a lot to do with the profit and also the effect that we had on inventory, which is the next category. We reduced our inventory by 50%. We went from $7.4 million to $3.7 million. There were factors last year with the Port of Los Angeles issues, some ordering that was a little bit heavy in some areas. We hired someone specifically to look at this area, and he had a lot of success in managing the inventory. So consequently, we're able to do this growth, and we're able to get additional turns in the inventory, which is very advantageous for us in cash. And it allowed us to pay down our accounts payable to $0.7 million versus $2.8 last year, and also make a fantastic dent in the intercompany debt, which was $4.5 million at the end of the last year. The related party debt at the end of this year was approximately $3.0 million. So all in all, not only concentration in the growth area in P&L, but also paying attention to the balance sheet and maximizing what we can out of that to increase our cash position and our free cash flow. So I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Mello, our VP of Sales and Marketing, who will discuss the highlights of sales and marketing this year.
Hey, guys. Just want to go through some of the highlights that we had this year. You know, like Lionel said, it was a banner year, and we had some some really good success at the retail level. I'm going to start with Walmart. You know, we increased our footprint there on on our microphones. We ended up being a year-round business in karaoke, which had a huge impact for us on the sales. We went from a domestic program to a direct import program, so Walmart took ownership of the product a lot earlier, and went after a bigger number, which they ended up hitting. I mean, we had over 90% sell-through there at Walmart this year. And, you know, we also ended up having a feature at a $99 price point. So we've always been at a lower price point in the Walmart toys. They took a chance on a $99 price point and sold through extremely well on that. So it proved to them that higher price points, even though it's a toy department, could work there. They've struggled before with some of the price points over 69, yet for Singing Machine, they sold a $99 item and did extremely well. In Amazon, we ended up having the number one item, the number one karaoke machine, and also the number one microphone. We got aggressive with marketing there. We participated in some of their marketing initiatives that were proven to be successful, and we were part of that program, and we ended up having a 60% year-over-year increase in sales while having the number one slot in both the machines and microphones. So that was a huge success for us. The clubs continue to be well. BJ's carried two items instead of one, and did extremely well on both. Costco also carried two items, had a 99% sell-through. We were completely clean on both items, including one digital item that was introduced to the marketplace as a brand new item. They sold all units that they bought completely clean. Sam's Club also took a chance on a digital item, pedestal, and had over 90% sell-through. So all in all, we really won the fourth quarter. Earlier this year, we got some NPD numbers that proved that. We fall under the category youth electronics. Ended up having three of the top 10 items in the fourth quarter in that particular category. As a category, as a whole, youth electronic grew 5%. Singing Machine's top three item grew 50% year over year. And we also won the money spent on that as well, whereas for every $1 million spent in this category, Singing Machine was tops with $1,000 being spent on Singing Machine. So we were in there with companies like VTech, and there were companies like Kid Design, Sakar, and beat them out all during the last fourth quarter. So that was key for us. We still left some sales on the table. Like Lionel said, we reduced our inventory by 50%. We had a target number we wanted to hit in terms of sales, and also a target number we wanted to hit in terms of inventory, and went both after that balance aggressively, and were able to accomplish that. So we saw where we could probably pick up some additional sales for the upcoming year, and how to better manage the inventory also to make sure that we don't have any lost sales. So we are targeting that as potential growth for this year. Also, we had returns were down by a significant number, which meant couple of things. Sell-through was incredible, so we didn't have to take any overstock returns. They were very limited, the overstock returns we had to take. Buyer's remorse was extremely low this year. You know, karaoke does have a rentable effect to it, where people buy it for a party and then bring it back. We saw that number decrease significant this year. And we also implemented some better quality controls at the factory. So we hired some additional QC staff that monitor the production, and it turned out to be that our quality increased this year, and we saw it in some of the comments that we saw online. So, you know, that's pretty much it on the sales highlight. You know, one of our major customers, Toys R Us, continues to support us. We had 10 feet of space this year as opposed to 4 feet last year, with some end caps, and we ended up winning Vendor of the Year there for the second year in a row. Europe increased also 100%. Right now, if you go to Amazon on the UK, we have six of the top 10 items. So the Singing Machine brand is resonating in Europe, and that trend is continuing to go up. So we're making headways, and we're investing a lot in the brand. We're investing a lot with marketing companies to go after social media and some influencers, and it's paid off. And you know, our retailers are coming back to us and reinvesting with our brand, because they recognize that the Singing Machine brand is top of mind when it comes to music and entertainment for families. So we hope to continue that trend going on for this year. And with that being said, I'll hand it back over to Gary, and I'll stick around for any questions and answers at the end.
Okay. Thank you, Bernardo. Thank you, Lionel. I think just to recap what we've all been saying, Singing Machine today is at the healthiest and strongest position that we've seen in well over 15 years. Our sales number and distribution is at an all-time high if you go back over 15 years. Our balance sheet, like Lionel was mentioning, is very looking much healthier than it's been in recent history. If you look at our cash position as of March 31, we're in a very stable cash position to grow. And, you know, it's the fact that our margins continue to grow as our sales continue to grow speaks to the strength of the Singing Machine brand. It speaks to the demand of karaoke and the fact that consumers are looking for Singing Machine on the shelf and continuing to find us. So in summary, I think we are the strongest position we've been in a long, long, long time. In addition to that, I spoke earlier about our download store. At the end of December, we had an impressive number of average revenue per paying user, which at the time was a little bit over $13 per paying customer. Now, through March 31, that number has increased to over $27 per paying user. So it shows a lot of health in the fact that our customers are coming to the download store, they're downloading, they're purchasing, but they're not stopping there. They're continuing to come back week after week after week as we run promotions, and they're continuing to use the service. So it tells us a lot of things. It tells us that they like the service. Customers are accustomed to getting music on demand. So it tells us that we're on the right track. And our strategy as we move now into fiscal 2017 is to basically convert as much of our product line into the digital format as we can, or basically our strategy is to make our entire product line in some way, shape, or form be compatible with our online music platforms. So our goal for this coming fiscal year is for 99% of our product line to be able to either stream through our mobile karaoke app, stream their music, or download their music through our download store. And we believe that as we continue to expand the distribution of these product lines, that the recurring revenue will just continue to come in even after we've made that first hardware sale. So, you know, we have a lot of exciting projects going on. We're in a very stable, very strong position, and we look to continue the momentum and grow our distribution, not just domestically, but also abroad. So, with that being said, I'd like to reserve some time and open it up for any questions.
Great, thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to be removed from the queue, simply press the pound key. Again, to ask your question, please press star and then one on your touch-tone telephone now. We'll take our first question from Eric Nickerson with Third Century Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Well, hi, guys. I was going to ask about inventory. It's kind of unusual, you know, when sales are up double digits for inventory to drop 50%. But I guess you explained that pretty well. I mean, there were problems with the port strike last year, and that ballooned the inventory. Have you told us everything there is to tell us about inventory?
I think so. Let's just say that because we're seasonal, And because our first quarter, if you will, and our fourth quarter are normally pretty slow, although they are also gaining momentum as we get more customers on a full-time basis. But basically, we targeted we felt that $4 million was a good number to have in inventory at the end of the year, given that it's seasonality and it's time to clean out. With the problems that we have with the Port of Los Angeles and a little bit of maybe over-ordering last year, we wanted to get a better handle on it. We set a goal of $4 million to get us what we thought were maximum, probably not maximum, but at least a very strong turns ratio without sacrificing too much sales that we might leave on the table. Again, I think we may have left some on the table, but it's not a make-or-break type of situation. So I think that we did what we were supposed to do and paid attention and hit those goals. So
okay. Yeah, and we also had a couple of SKUs that just took off, and we just couldn't keep in inventory. You know, they were just on fire, and the turnaround time between the end of the year and also Chinese New Year, some of those inventories came in after March 31st, and we finally got back on track and started selling those items. So there was a combination of a couple of things that caused that number to drop drastically.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Maybe I don't have an accurate concept of these digital download products that you're talking about. How does something like that develop a backlog?
Well, I tell you what. You know, our regular line is which is CD plus G. Singing Machine doesn't sell CD plus G, so we were losing the customer basically after the initial sale, and then others that were in that CDG business were reaping the benefits of it. The digital download is a proprietary product that we've developed over the last couple of years with proprietary software and in partnership with our content partner. So now, when you buy this product, you could digitally download the music to play through a USB on our digital download machines, and we keep the customer within that environment, so that there are going back to our stores to buy content to play through our machines, and no longer needing a CD player to play music.
All right. So the $400,000 backlog and digital download, that's in the hardware then, right?
Yeah, the hardware. Let's just okay. Say that we by our last year's results, we determined that the acceptability of the download unit was accepted pretty well in the market, and this is not something we're going to discontinue, obviously, because now we have new orders for the upcoming season and for summer sales and promotions and stuff. We've got a $400,000 backlog that is built up of these machines for the coming season, so we're deeming it a success and growing. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess I get it.
Specifically on your question.
Say again?
To touch specifically on your question, I think I know where you're coming from in terms of the 400% backlog. Basically, what that's saying from the press release is that we have open commitments from customers for this coming year that represents a 400% increase over the prior year. So okay. that's commitments that we have from our customers for this holiday season.
Okay. I guess I just got one more question. You mentioned briefly, I think, that we have our products in the toy department at Walmart. Would I be correct in thinking that you'd rather have them in a store like that? You'd rather have them in the electronics area?
It's a good question. Right now, that category, the music category, belongs in the toy department. I wouldn't say that in the future we wouldn't also be in the electronic department. We are trying. We're trying to see how that could work within two departments. So, without saying much, that is the goal.
Is it a function of that selection on the part of the retailer? Is that a function of price point, or is it perception, or a little both, or how do they make that decision?
No, it's just Walmart a couple of years back really made a conscious decision to go after the Best Buy customer on the electronic side. So they wanted to have a higher end perceived value on products that they brought in. And some of the products, which included karaoke, musical instruments, lower end electronics, youth electronics, were passed over to toys. I'm not saying that strategy is going to change in the near future, but there are talks into what other things are going to be transferred over to electronics.
Okay. I guess that's all I have. Thanks. You guys seem to be doing a good job. I'll go out of the queue.
Thank you.
Next we'll move to Mike Schillinger with MicroCap Club. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, on the digital downloads, you mentioned $27 per paying user. I was wondering what percentage of your purchases end out in paying users.
So at this current time, we are not disclosing the percentage of customers that are converting from visitors to paying customers, but what I can tell you is that number, when you look at a digital sort of subscription model or a digital download model, what I can tell you is that in the category, it is very, very high among our peers in terms of customers that are visitors that later turn into paying customers. And, you know, the reason for that is that Singing Machine customers are basically predisposed to enjoying and wanting music, right? I mean, it's similar to the video game sort of hardware business where, you know, you don't buy a video game console and then later not go and buy video games, right? So it's Singing Machine customers have historically been very predisposed to a willingness to spend money on music. And I think finally now we're doing a good job of capturing those dollars, where in the past we've let other companies sort of generate that revenue.
Okay. So the $27 per paying user, is that gross revenue or revenue after the 50% cut to Stingray?
That's gross dollars.
Okay. And then on the app download, can you give us a little bit more color on what those numbers actually look like in absolute dollars, or is that something you're not disclosing?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we are not disclosing hard dollars. I've talked a little bit about percentage growth, but at this time, we're not required yet to sort of segment our music download and subscription revenue. And at some certain point in time when it becomes a material number to our overall business, we will start segmenting it. But for now, we prefer to just talk in percentage growth.
Okay, and then in terms of the digital download products, can you talk a bit on the sort of general price points of those? Are there new products? Well, I guess I imagine, I mean, based on what you said, there must be new products. How does it maybe you can sort of tell us how it, compares to the fiscal year that just passed in terms of, what you're going to be doing this year.
Sure. Bernardo, do you want to tackle that question?
Yeah, I mean, the question was, what sort of new products were introduced into the marketplace this year?
And how does the price point compare on the digital download products, this year versus last year?
I'm glad you asked. We are introducing a couple of new products on the digital downside. I mean, we're completing the line to be sort of like a good, better, best. We have our top line, which is called the Carnival. We're introducing two versions of that. One is going to go to Costco. The other one's going to go to Sam's Club. They have some additional features and better quality than the product from last year. We're also introducing a sub 100 item that is going into Toys R Us, Target, and some regional accounts like Meijer and BrandsMart and also Amazon. This is going to open up, I believe, the volume, some additional volume that wasn't there last year. So the increase in digital download, we're hoping to be, you know, triple of what it was, more than probably quadruple of what it was last year, which is hopefully going to really affect the back end revenue as well.
But with regards to there's still pricing points that we're hitting with, regardless of whether it's a new digital line or whether it's the old carrot, the old CDG line. But in terms of margin, the new digital products being the technology that is now, it's not old technology. So consequently, the components and things are somewhat more marketable, if you will, or cheaper on the market to get. Pricing structure is better there. So when we say that the margin, it's not a matter of that we can command that much more on the retail side, but our costing model is a lot better with the modern technology. It's cheaper and it's better quality.
Okay, cool. So one last question. Regarding the, you know, so the discussion we're having on paid users, so I'm assuming that most of the users, you give some free downloads as part of the purchase stuff, so I'm assuming that most of the users are doing the free download, and then, you know, some percentage less of that are doing the paid downloads.
Right, that's correct. So we do give away on the digital download side, we do give away 10 free songs, basically to entice customers that purchase the hardware to get onto the music platform and to start downloading. And of course, we ask for credit card information and everything up front. And basically our strategy there is we want people to start becoming familiar with the service and using it, and we believe once they do, they're not going to stop at 10 songs. They're going to continue to grow the library as they continue to have parties and different get-togethers. And so you're correct. I mean, there's a percentage of customers that will redeem their free downloads, and then there's a different percentage of customers that not only redeem their downloads but then become paying customers.
And then I would assume as part of that you also get their email address, which enables you to market to them, as opposed to, you know, I imagine sometimes with products like this, you know, people buy them, get really excited, and then it goes in the closet and they kind of forget about it. If you can email them, that, you know, kind of reminds them that they have that machine in the closet that maybe they should use for the next party or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. Oh, sorry, guys. You want me to address that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, because I'm glad you brought that up. We are engaging with a company that's called Mad Marketing locally here in Florida, that they specialize in life cycle communication. And one of our big initiatives this year is to make sure that we're sending out a minimum of 2 emails per month to those customers, you know, making them aware of new songs that are in the marketplace, making them aware of bundle songs that bundle packages that they could buy. So just staying in front of the customers. Before, we did very, very little of that. So now we have a firm that their main focus is that life cycle communication to stay top of mind with our customers.
Okay, great. Don't have any further questions.
Great, thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you can do so by pressing *1 on your touch-tone telephone. Meanwhile, we'll move to Tomer Cohen with Five Roads Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Congrats on a great year. I had 2 questions. The first is on market saturation. I think you sold 1.5 million machines, and I'm just curious what percentage of the market that is, and if you're worried that that at some point you'll have saturated the market.
No, we're not worried about that. We're still, I think when NPD did their numbers, we're still at 76% distribution capacity here in the United States. We're still not fully on what our full potential could be. I mean, we still have Best Buy, that brick and mortars that we could go after. We still have a couple of other big box retailers that we haven't done business in the past that we still could go after. So, you know, that index of distribution capabilities, we still have some to go to. The other thing that we're finding out is by introducing different price points at the retailers, we're obtaining different customer base. Where that sub 100 traditionally is a giftable item, you know, for teenagers and below, we're finding out that by introducing over $100 price points and new technology, we're trying to regain those customers that just enjoy singing, that are 18 and over, enjoy singing, like to practice at home singing, like to record their performances and share them with friends. So we still have ways to go. As a matter of fact, one of the segments that we are working on development for this year is going after the sub 6 year old marketplace with sing-alongs, which is a huge number right now by that's dominated by eKids, which has the Disney princesses and Frozen, and also Sakaar that has Hello Kitty and some of those other licenses. We think Singing Machine could be a big player in that market as well, since we already dominate the karaoke market against those licenses. So as those licenses start to wane a little bit and we start introducing new products in that product range, we still think our market share could grow, and we still think there's a lot of distribution to go after.
Yeah, and let's not forget the international markets, too. I don't think we've even begun to scratch the surface of what our potential is internationally.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can help me at a high level with some of the numbers, though. If you're selling 1.5 million units a year and, you know, roughly 100 million households in America, you know, you're getting the 1.5% of the market every year. You know, how long do people replace their machines? How often does the machine last? And how many households do you think might buy the machine?
Well, yeah, that's why we're making a big push on the over $100 price point and new technology. And some of that life cycle communication is going to reach out to our old classic line consumers and say, hey, by the way, we have something new and exciting. And, you know, that's, you know, there's a big difference in the digital download. I mean, it's full HD capabilities. So if you have a beautiful display at home, a beautiful TV at home, now this takes full advantage of that resolution. We're hoping those customers come back. And now that they've experienced, you know, the giftable item for their kid, now they want to buy a machine that's suitable for the family to use. And we have two big campaigns going on this year, you know, through social media and with some retailers called Bring Your Own Music, which is really focusing on, hey, this is an item for family game night. You know, instead of family game night, we can have family karaoke night, and that will draw some consumers that have that $49 or $59 machine to want to step up and buy that $150 or $200 machine in the marketplace.
But it does. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people have come to our office, be it bankers or you know, professional people trying to sell services to us, and they'll start discussing and say, "If I have a machine of yours at home, I also, in fact, I have several machines of yours at home because we started out buying it as a gift for, you know, my son or my daughter. They enjoyed it so much, and we saw them enjoying it so much that we bought them the next model." And, you know, they're saying, we like to see what the next new technology is out there, so as potentially they'll buy another. I don't think there's hardly ever a time where somebody has come in as a stranger, as a group, where one or two of the people in the group haven't said, yeah, this is what we do. So, there is a dynamic there.
Okay. And then on the general and administrative expenses, can you give any more background on the intercompany expenses that you mentioned at the start of the call?
Yeah, some of the things that we invested in this year with regards to quality, the increase in quality. We're using some of our parent company's QC people. Okay, so consequently, just the increase in volume is going to contribute to our having to use their services a little more and get charged a little bit more, you know, intercompany-wise. But also we spent, as Bernardo alluded to earlier, we got some more quality people on the job, and I think it's helped us on the back end and not getting the stuff back. So a lot of the increase that we've seen in there is due to that type of thing.
Yeah, okay. And then long-term, are you hoping to or planning to decrease the amount of intercompany business that you have with your parent?
Yeah. You want to answer that, Gary?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at some point in time, as we move along, I believe that we're going to have less reliance on the parent company to help us with certain overseas service functions. It's sort of been a function where when we were a much smaller company, it made sense to leverage their presence in Asia to assist us with, quality control, engineering services, and different things like that. And now as we continue to grow and start doing more and more manufacturing and working with more manufacturers in China, I definitely can see that at some point the existing model doesn't make sense, and we start investing in our own services in Asia. So. To answer your question, basically, yes. I think at some point we definitely make that transition.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys, and congrats on a great year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, that is star and one to ask your question. Next, we'll move to Brad Bullock with Pioneer Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Brad.
Hi. My questions have actually really been answered, so I'll step out of the queue. But nice going.
Thank you, Brad.
Great, thank you. And it appears that we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, I want to, again, thank everybody for participating in today's earnings call. And I also want to reiterate that Singing Machine Now is in the healthiest position we've been in a long time, and we look forward to continuing our momentum and continuing to deliver exciting products and new exciting technology to the market and continue to grow. So look forward to chatting with you all next quarter. Thank you.